Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Every 1,000 years or so, people climb a mountain to the Italian Alps to walk through the stations of the cross, to stand before an outdoor crucifix. It's part of what we did also during our Lenten season, placing ourselves into that march that our Savior must have gone through, those days of anticipating ahead what was in store for him, enduring the weight of our sins as he went the way and eventually was placed upon the cross in our place. These are some of the things that those individuals must think about as they make that march through the Italian Alps to walk to that place of the cross. One tourist noticed an indistinct trail that led beyond that outdoor cross. A brush marked the way, it was in the path. Not many people had gone beyond the cross, but he pushed through that, found his way through that path to an open tomb. It was neglected, overgrown with brush. Visitors gone as far as the cross, but they had stopped at that place. Are we like that in our Christian lives? We go to the point of the cross, as we did during the Lenten season to Good Friday, but we forget about what happens as a result of that Easter morning when Jesus rose again from the dead. We have been to the cross. We believe that Jesus died for us to forgive us our sins so that we can eventually go to heaven. But in our baptism, not only did Jesus die for us, not only were we put under the water in baptism, but Jesus also rose again for us, just as we come out of the waters of baptism, alive in Christ. The attitude of Jesus' first disciples changed radically from fear and doubt to triumphant joy when they were convinced that Jesus was alive. And Jesus gave them ever so many opportunities to realize he was alive. Not only on that first Sunday, as we heard of, but also again 8 days later with Thomas, along the way to Emmaus, as he appeared to them as they were fishing on the seashore, as he appeared to 500 and more at another opportunity. Over and over, Jesus showed them that he was alive. We also need to go beyond the cross and, like the disciples, experience that light and joy and hope and peace of our Lord's Easter victory. So we need repeated, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Shout of triumph from the Paschal feast is still in the lips and in the hearts of all who have had that Easter faith. All individuals that know of Jesus rising again so that I know I'm going to live, that my friends and relatives who believe in Jesus will also be living, that joy and peace that is ours. Unlike the movie TV world, where sequels of great productions many times fall short when there's a sequel that follows it, we're enhanced by the power and the joy and the hope and the peace of the Christ's resurrection. And our Easter resurrection themes and lessons for today seem to highlight that as well. The first lesson from Acts records the apostles speaking to the Jewish hierarchy of their day. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead. We are witnesses of these things. Celebration they must have had in the early church as they told the Jewish hierarchy this great news. Or in the epistle from Revelation, it is Jesus himself who testifies, I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. John, after describing how the risen Lord overcame the disciples' fears and doubts in the gospel lesson for this morning, describes the power of all of this testimony, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. This was the joy, the celebration that they had as they shared that being alive in Jesus to the world around them. Typical belief of people who are believed, I can't believe he is gone. For the disciples of Jesus became that astounding, he is not dead, Jesus is alive. And that's our typical understanding that we should have as well. The individual loved ones that we have lost, they are no longer gone. They are alive. They are well with Jesus in heaven. The Lord knew that they would need convincing evidence, and he gave it, as today's lessons demonstrate. The same testimony recorded in Scripture is the foundation of all resurrection-based faith in Christ. Without a risen Lord, there's no good news. If we stopped at that outdoor crucifixion scene and did not proceed beyond that, there would be no good news. But as we go on, as we see again the open tomb and realize that Jesus is alive, then we have joy. Then we too are alive. We have the testimony of Christ as he showed himself alive again. He presented the evidence personally to his disciples when he appeared among them as he found them behind locked doors, fearful for their own lives at this point too, that the same thing that happened to Jesus could happen to them. Our gospel lesson says, on the evening of the first day of the week, this is still the resurrection day, isn't it? On the evening of the first day of the week, the day that Jesus rose in the morning, on that evening, they're in locked doors. It's still Easter, we would say. Security conscious, out of fear of what the Jewish leaders might do to them. Also, the disciples found themselves behind locked doors. The disciples then included more than just the 10. Remember, Judas and Thomas were not there with them that evening, but there were the 10 plus others, the disciples that were there, as Luke records for us. Jesus came and stood among them. He was suddenly there. Imagine that surprise when someone jumps out of a hiding place and surprises you, Jesus appearing in the room with them when they are in locked doors, and Jesus is there. Peace be with you. Never meant so much to those disciples. They might have expected to be taken to task for their conduct earlier on Thursday when they had left him. Friday, they were not with him. Indeed, Jesus comforts and reassures his followers. Peace, the very heart of the gospel message that the disciples would now be sent to proclaim. Jesus then showed them his hands and his side. He flashed his identification badges, we might say, to be able to convince these followers that he was the same Jesus that they had seen crucified just a few days before. This was indeed Jesus of Nazareth. It wasn't just an apparition produced by intense fear or by mob psychology. His wounds proved that his same body that hung on the cross is the body that now stands before them, offering them peace in life. Same Jesus who had been crucified 3 days before, now alive before them. Many Christians believers still live in that Good Friday mood, just like those who have gone to the outdoor cross and they stop there. They recognize that Jesus died on the cross to forgive them for their sins, their horrible death that had to be paid so that we could be able to go to be with him in heaven. That happened for us at the cross. He paid the price for us at that point, conquering sin, death, and the devil. But the resurrection mode of believers is to retain that Good Friday theology and add to it the excitement of the living Christ that we have in the love and the joy and the peace that comes to us on Easter morning, knowing that Jesus didn't remain dead, but that he rose once again. For their own faith, as well as their future testimony, it was essential that the disciples positively identify this Jesus, that they positively know that this is the one that they saw die as their Savior on the cross, and identify him for themselves and then for us, that this is the same Jesus, our Savior from sin and death and the devil. The holy wounds of Jesus continue to bring joy and assurance for us today. They are evidence of Jesus' atoning sacrifice for us. Since Thomas was absent from the gathering of Christ's people, he missed so much. In this case, he missed seeing the risen Lord on that first Easter Sunday, the resurrection day. Sadly, many miss the Lord in our own day as well, not joining the assembly of Christian brothers and sisters around the joyful news that Jesus died on the cross for us and rose again for us, not receiving that which he gives us in his body and blood in the sacrament as assurance that we too, having our sins forgiven, will live forever. What patient seeking love of our Savior, that he gives us evidence that he is alive, that we can have received and then shared others as well. He responds to Chalmers' requirement for both visible and physical proof of his resurrection, adding this plea, stop doubting and believe. Was it really necessary for Thomas to physically touch Jesus before he believed? Most likely the sight of the living Jesus was probably enough. In fact, the scripture doesn't really even say if he really did reach out and touch Jesus. Here's one more example of Jesus conquering unbelief. Few have had sight-based faith as did Thomas. Few have been able to see that Jesus alive again after Easter. We haven't, except through these individuals who witnessed him alive. Peter speaks of all those who, without seeing, love and believe in the Christ and have the same joy and the same peace as those who actually saw him on those days of Easter and the following. Down through the ages, faith has come by means of hearing the message of Christ, since the Spirit continues to work through that word and enable us too to hear the testimony of those who actually saw him with their own eyes. The Jesus whom we know and trust is revealed as the risen, living, resurrected Lord. If God raised Jesus from the dead, I think we sometimes question then, why does he still have those marks in his hands and in his side? Why are those nail marks still there? Why are those scars still there on the living Jesus? Why the print of the nails that you could have felt with your own fingers, as Thomas was invited to do? Can it be that the gospel words are saying to us in our own waiting, you will not see Jesus Christ unless you see the wounds? That perhaps we too, when we are with him in heaven, will see those wounds and know for sure, this is the one who died for me. Somehow we must understand that the resurrected Christ is also the wounded Christ. He who lives is none other than that same one who died for us. There has been no exchange. There's been no trickery with smoke and mirrors to make us confused about what we have seen, what we are experiencing, what we believe. The very one who is crucified is now alive. You know, the deaf world has a sign for Jesus when they are communicating with each other. Fingers on the hands speak of Jesus, the one who is nailed to the cross, the one who died for them. As they mark their hands each time they speak Jesus' name in their conversations. They make this sign many times during their worship service then, of course, too, as they speak with each other. Jesus is the one with wounded hands. When they touch these places, they remember Jesus, the wounded Jesus. They hear his name in their own flesh. We have the testimony of God's holy, inspired word. And having visibly revealed himself to his disciples, Jesus offers that same fact of his resurrection, the wounded Christ, Jesus, living and alive for us also today. The words help us to actually feel Jesus in our own lives as well. Jesus is with us in real, not in a visible way, but in a real way. Many people inside and outside of the church are afflicted with the same doubt that Thomas must have had in that week when he hears from the other disciples that they had seen Jesus and he wasn't there. He didn't get to see him. Pastor's young son was told to wash his hands because there were germs living from the dirt that he had been playing in. He refused and he complained Germs and Jesus, germs and Jesus. That's all I ever hear around this house. And I've never seen either one. But invisible bacteria causes real disease. And the risen Jesus, invisible to us now, forgives our sins and will raise us with those same hands that he died, that he offered for us on the last day. Faith in Christ, the one who died and now lives, is created and maintained by hearing the word of Jesus, the word of God, the word by which the Spirit works, by hearing the words of the Bible. By the word, we are led to confess that we are sinners for whom Christ died. By the word, we believe in Jesus as our Savior. By the word, joined to the visible means as we receive them in the sacraments, our faith is built and strengthened and satisfied. We are baptized into Jesus' death and resurrection in the Lord's Supper as he feeds us with his very own body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. By word created faith, we also have the true and eternal life that is in Jesus Christ. Remember that life is to live in relationship, and that in Christ we have a relationship with God that begins now, a relationship that extends throughout all eternity. We have the power of Christ alive in us. We live with joy and confidence. We receive strength and comfort even over all of our doubts, over all of our disappointments, over all of our losses, because we know that in Jesus, we are alive as well. Moved that by that same Holy Spirit, we confess with words and lives, just as Thomas did that day, my Lord, my God. We share all that Jesus is and all that Jesus does for people around us as they know him by faith as well, and as they join us in confessing his name, as we will do in a few moments as we speak the words of the Apostles' Creed. We face even death with confidence and hope. A Muslim family had a 16-year-old girl who came to faith in Jesus as her Savior. That is a surprise. That is something worth celebrating. And yet, this 16-year-old girl died shortly after that. Her mother came to the missionary and asked, "What did you do to her?" And the missionary, a little set back, a little stunned, said, "I did nothing." And the mother replied, "Yes, you did. She died smiling. Our people don't die that way." She died smiling because she knew Jesus as her Savior. She knew she was still alive. And the Muslim family, the Muslim people, don't die that way. Jesus died for us on a cross. We have the forgiveness that he purchased by his very blood for us. We are reconciled to our Heavenly Father. But as we look beyond the cross and build our lives on the empty tomb of our living Lord, we will be different. We'll be truly alive in his Spirit. In the words of St. Paul, we count ourselves alive to God in Christ Jesus. Paul's point is that we who have become partakers of Christ's death and resurrection in our own baptism should see ourselves as walking in a new way, in a new life. Joy, peace, hope that is ours now because we are alive in Christ, of turning from sin and living in the likeness of Christ. For such resurrection living, we need the conviction that our Lord Jesus Christ does live. We need to see, just as those early followers did, the nail prints in his hands, the Savior who rose again, and thus believe in him. Even as we do not see him visually ourselves, we see him as in the Word, we hear the testimony of those who did see him. And even if we have not seen, we still believe. His resurrection is powerfully proclaimed in the testimony of this Word today. Our Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. May that peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ continue to bring you strength and faith as you too are alive in our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.